Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're speaking with CEO and entrepreneur George Roeca from the Philippines. His company, Ancas, is a leading app-based ride-hailing service in the country with more than 30,000 bikers. Over the next 10 years, he wants to create millions of more jobs for over 18 million motorcycle owners in the country. He's helping pioneer the motorcycle taxi business in the country of the Philippines, and his company is dubbed the Uber for Bikes. And coming to us from Manila this morning, Mr. Roeca, thanks for joining us here today.
Hi, Eric. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Hey, you're more than welcome. Glad we're able to make this happen and to get you on the program. So for starters, talk to our audience about your company, Ancas. What inspired you to start the company, and why did you feel there was such a need for this type of transportation business in the Philippines? Let's kick it off with that today.
Well, if you've ever been in our part of town, we have not a lot of roads. It is the capital of the country, and it's really congested, very, very heavy traffic. You know, it takes about, you know, less than a 10-kilometer drive would take you, a 10-kilometer distance would take you about 3 hours to commute. So it gets pretty hairy in the traffic side. So you really need small, agile vehicles that enables you to kind of beat the traffic or at least wade through it. And this is something that we saw that was a potential solution. And apart from that, it was already an informal sector of a lot of these motorcycle taxis that were plying the street. And we professionalized the industry, making sure that these guys were trained, made them a lot more safe, provided them the gears and the insurance and everything else that came along a professional service. And it gave them a stable income, a legitimized profession, as well as a solution to congested cities in our country.
Well, first of all, you saw a need and you're making it happen out there. So congratulations on that. And secondly, I've never been out to your part of the world, but I've got to say all the footage I have seen has shown that there's so much motorcycle transportation, especially in Manila there. So certainly understand why you have made a great opportunity out there possible. Talk to us about how you recruit and train your riders and how that process works.
Well, for us, it's really anybody who, you know, knows how to ride a motorcycle. In the Philippines, we're an emerging market. It gets pretty expensive to buy cars. So a lot of people resort to the alternative, which is owning a motorcycle. And that's what they use as a family car. That's what they use to get to work and also as a side hustle. So we target those people that use motorcycles as a side hustle, whether they do deliveries or passengers. And then we do extensive training with them. So we have a practical exam and they go through a course, actual live course in our training module. And then we assess their skills, whether or not they're able to pillion. Ancas actually means pillion in our native tongue in Filipino. And through that training, we are able to certify that and accredit them in the platform that they have the skills to be able to take a passenger and, you know, go through the streets and use this as a form of public transportation.
Well, you're certainly tapping into a needed market in your location for sure. Now, another question for you, as you created your company, which folks also call your company the Uber for motorcycles and bikes, did you use or learn from any other transportation services around the world? Get into some of those details.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, ride hailing has been pretty much everywhere. Uber being the pioneer and one of the largest, definitely a model for us. There was some other platforms that doing similar types of services, and they're our neighbors. So we really took a lot of inspiration from many of the existing operators that's already doing this type of service. I think what we improved on is really the biker side and how we really created a community. In the Philippines, that was illegal. Unfortunately, I mean, I came into the business not knowing it was illegal because there was so much informal, workers that were doing it in the underground. And because we we were a legitimate company that did it. There was a lot of regulation that was needed, and we were part and parcel of that, of developing that regulation. And right now we're in the middle of passing a law, an enabling law, to be able to make sure that both bikers, the riders, the customers, and the community are protected from this type of service.
It amazes me all the challenges that a startup does go through, but you're certainly taking care of business out there and are well ahead of the curve. It sounds like today we're joined by George Roeca. He is the CEO of Ancas, a leading app-based ride-hailing service in the Philippines with more than 30,000 bikers. Again, his company is dubbed the Uber for Bikes, and he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, you also mentioned that you aim to create 1 million jobs through your company over the next few years. Discuss how the economic opportunities and jobs like yours would create. Also, being a driver in the transportation business, you are your own entrepreneur as you pick up and drop off passengers as well. Talk about the socioeconomic aspect as well, the idea of financial empowerment in the community. Certainly, what an impact there in your area that you are bringing to the community.
Yeah, I mean, I think the impact is huge, and there's really a lot of opportunity in even the most rural parts of our country, where you can't even have a car. The car can't go anywhere. There are no roads, and it's really a motorcycle that is only a motorcycle that can get you from point A to point B. There's about 18 million motorcycle owners in the country. All of them are low-income family household, and almost all of them are using motorcycles as a side hustle or some form, of one way or another, helping them out in their livelihood or in their work. And what we plan to do is legitimize that, whether they're doing deliveries, whether they're doing a transport of people, also outside of this core service, but also ancillary to it would be insurance, credit. All of those things really empower and reinforce the business. Essentially their business, their storefront are those motorcycles. And I think 1 million is, a drop in the bucket with a potential millions more of livelihood that you can create in that ecosystem. I mean, we call them nanopreneurs, right? They're smaller than an entrepreneur because these guys have their own time. The motorcycle is at the center of that economic, engine. And this is what we want to capitalize on. So I think there's a lot of opportunity here to create jobs and livelihood. We've created a very successful model with 30,000 biker partners. We've increased their ability to have a stable income. That we've increased their opportunity and their chance to be afflicted from poverty. In fact, all 30,000 biker partners are now out of the poverty line. And if we can do it with 30,000, we can definitely do it to a lot more.
I certainly appreciate your feedback there. I know it was a loaded question. Well done on your part. Now, how's your government? Have they been supportive of your business, or do you work with them in any way in recruiting employees or doing programs to expand the business and, obviously so your transportation services are available around the country? Talk to us about that.
Well, we do now, but it wasn't accepted as it is today. We've been operating for more than 5 years now. And in the beginning, there was, of course, apprehension and anxiety and seeing what this, whether this business or this type of transportation was indeed safe. And we had to prove ourselves. In fact, we were shut down by the government 3 times along that entire process. And it took court cases, went all the way up to the Supreme Court, also a bunch of unity rides from the community, and just a groundswell of support from all sectors. And eventually the government had to step in and work with us because it was just improving, not just giving opportunity for commuters to be able to get to their destination faster, but also really the livelihood aspect and the potential of it. And so we've been working with the government ever since over the last few years in crafting the necessary legislation to be able to regulate this in a safe manner.
Well, I got to hand it to you. You certainly experienced a whole truckload of challenges, and I got to hand it to you for not giving up. That is just totally awesome, and what an inspiration you are. And showing us, no matter what, it can be done. Now, with that being said, you're a successful entrepreneur and have done a lot in your career thus far. Can you discuss what inspired you to become an entrepreneur to begin with and start your own business?
You know, I think entrepreneurs, what they have in common is really the ability to solve problems. I, for one, fall in love with, you know, solving problems every day. And in a country like ours, we're ridden with problems. Thereby, there's really a lot of opportunity. So at an early age, you see a lot of these things and just get the hang of being an entrepreneur just naturally. And I think we're blessed in that sense, because there are so many ways for us to make things more efficient and so many inefficiencies that equate to opportunity. And I think that's just I'm just a product of that type of environment.
That's not the first time I've heard that. That's not the first time I've heard that before, a product of your environment. I like that, by the way, especially when it comes to entrepreneurship. Now, I understand that your wife, Angeline Tam, is a co-founder at Ancus and involved with the business as well. Can you discuss her influence on the business and working together with her as a partner?
Oh, she's the main man. She's my wife, and she's also the founder of Ancus, which makes her the boss in my personal life and the boss at work. So we have a very good working relationship, and we built the company from the ground up, and this is something that has worked for us. And you know, we've been partner ever since, and she's been really critical in making sure that the standards are in place. She set up the training facilities, she set up the curriculum. She's the one that provided the whole journey of the biker to make sure that they're not just safe, but they're also equipped with the right tools to be able to, work as a professional motorcycle taxi driver.
Yeah, I bet she's the boss all the way around. And you've got to be really thankful you have someone like her to partner up with you, not only as your wife, but also as a business partner. Certainly an awesome situation there, it sounds like. Lastly, in terms of being an entrepreneur, do you have any advice for entrepreneurs looking to start a business, and any advice that you would have for the audience based on your experiences?
You know, for me, if you take time to identify a problem, and if that problem is big enough that it affects a lot of people, then that's what you call a product market fit. And if you have a product market fit, then I wouldn't say it'll sell itself, but it's much, much easier for people to be receptive of it, and higher chances or higher likelihood of success. So identify the problem well, and make sure that you really have this laser focus in providing that solution. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. Most entrepreneurs or most startups actually fail not because of external conditions like market or competition, but just founders simply quitting. So you just need to have that resolve. It's going to be very, very difficult. But you know, if you love to solve problems, then you don't stress about having a problem. You expect it, and that's really half the battle. You know, this is a mental toughness that you have to imbibe, and you'll get that along the way. We should make sure that when you're doing something like this, you at least try to make when you solve somebody's problem, you try to make their lives a little bit better. So that's always good.
George, the perfect place to conclude here today. Really an honor and a pleasure to have you today on the program, coming to us from Manila. You've done really well, and we wish you nothing but the best. And we'd love to have you back with an update in the future anytime. Where can listeners tap into Ancus if they're out in your neck of the woods, or just to get more information to know more about the company?
No, thanks for that, Eric. Well, you can always check our website at ancus.ph. That's ancus.ph. Or just go to the App Store and search for that word when you're in our part of a town. So thank you very much, Eric, for having me. And it's a great chat.
Hey, you're more than welcome. And of course, listeners, we'll put that link within the show notes of this broadcast for your convenience. Mr. Rowecka, all the best. Take care. And thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Again, we've been speaking with George Rowecka, the CEO of Ancus, a leading app-based ride-hailing service in the Philippines with more than 30,000 bikers. His company is dubbed the Uber for bikes, and for all the details, visit Ancus.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world. at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.